Welcome to our Talks with Silk and Drew. We have had a very long extended break because life, and fuck you, we do what we want because we're adults.
Yeah, and also because it takes me forever to edit these, and yeah. I'm like backlogged, which I apologize for.
Because Torrid has this thing called, I want to make a YouTube channel and make all these videos and be an adult.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that second part, but the first part is definitely taking up some time.
Well, let's be honest. Like, can we honestly say we know somebody that is truly good at being an adult?
Yeah, like old people. Like, I
yeah.
don't
know. Yeah, people that have had like decades of practice.
Yeah, I don't know anybody my age that's winning at this adult thing. We're all sucking pretty hard. Yeah. Like, sad to say, it's true. Yep. But yeah, I don't know anyone that's, you know, winning on that front.
Yep, adulting is hard, so don't grow up. That's the moral of this story.
Yeah, don't grow up, kids. Yep. Don't do it.
We both saw the new Star Wars movie. We want to talk about it. So spoilers. You haven't seen that shit.
Yes. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your life? Go and watch it right now.
I get it. Like, I had something minor spoiled to me. And honestly, after seeing the movie, it was still good. It didn't, like, wasn't the biggest deal in the world. But it is better the less you know going into that movie. The less you know, it's better.
The better. I was just going to say, I was fortunate enough not to have anything spoiled for me. And I was so happy, because if I had known any of those things, like, some people were getting spoiled on, like, huge plot points, I would have been, like, so angry and so upset. It would have killed everything for me, because then I would have been anticipating things instead of just letting the movie, like, flow naturally.
Here's the spoiler coming up. I'm going to say what was spoiled for me, so you click off the shit right now. But what was spoiled to me... And I'm an idiot. Like, I did this to myself. why I did this. It's just, you know, one of those things where you just do something and you literally had no reason. There was no reason to do this other than to fuck yourself over. What I did was, it was like, literally clicked on a site and it said, warning, if you click on this image, you'll have something spoiled for you. I clicked it and it showed a Rey action figure and she was holding a lightsaber. And after watching the movie, like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, at the end of the day, it's one of those things where, like, it's called The Force fucking Awakens, so of course there's going to be
somebody's going to be using them. Yeah.
Because honestly, too, I think it's still a valid thing to say that Finn might become a Jedi eventually. We don't know.
I don't rule that out.
Like, I'm just saying, like, it could go either way based
on... Yeah, it really could. Okay, so do you want to do... Okay, I will say, in prep, I turned off every... Like, Wednesday night, I think. Wednesday or Thursday... I was definitely off. So from like Wednesday night to I saw the movie, I was not on any type of social media. I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, none of it. The only time I was actually on YouTube is when I uploaded like the last of my Star Wars history videos. But then again, I just uploaded it and I was off. Like, I didn't look at anything because I just didn't want anything spoiled. I didn't watch a bunch of the teaser trailers and all that stuff because I just wanted like a fresh experience, and I'm so happy that I did that because it didn't give me any sense of like what I thought the movie was going to be. And then, you know, if your expectations is here and then you go in and then nothing's going to meet that, then you're just going to be bummed. I didn't really go in with any expectation except to see a Star Wars movie. So I just want to see people flying around in space and Jedis and stuff blowing up. And I got, you know, that and more. So I was definitely happy based on my preconceived notion because I had no preconceived notion. Mm-hmm. So, because I know a lot of people were disappointed. And I'll get to that later because that's a whole bag of fuckery that I don't even want to get into right now. Yeah. But... overall, I really liked the movie. Besides the things that they wanted you to feel emotional about, I didn't necessarily feel, like, ripped off or angry or, you know, mad when I left the theater. I was, like, thoroughly pleased with what I saw. Mm-hmm. So, that was my experience. And what about you?
Yeah, I had a very similar experience, but I feel like watching the trailers helped with surprises because it gives you kind of a false impression on certain things. Like, obviously, the whole it would have been better if I didn't get spoiled on the whole Rey using the Force and all that stuff. like I said, didn't enjoy that, but that would have been nice. But watching the trailer, I did gather that, oh, you know, Finn is a stormtrooper and he's going to crash land on Jakku and meet up with Rey and then meet up with the Resistance and then fight against them. I had that basic idea from the trailers, but it kind of helped to be like, oh, that's cool. He wasn't by himself in that TIE fighter. He had Poe with him and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of cool that it did certain things like that. Like, the trailer made it look like he was by himself and stuff like that. So you kind of got a good idea and all that stuff, and that it didn't spoil anything. Like, Kylo Ren is Han Solo's
kid.
And I like that. And overall, I liked that. A lot of people kind of bitched about it, but I like the fact that, like, it gave you your fill of Star Wars, but it made you want more because they didn't answer questions. But that was good, you know?
Exactly. Everyone wanted everything. That was one of my beefs with, like, talking to other people who like Star Wars. They kept saying, well, they didn't put this in there and they didn't put that. They're going to get it. Okay. It's like, if you go for a 3-course meal, they're not going to give you all the food on the first go-round.
Yeah.
They're going to save, you know, they build up to the good stuff.
The thing people got to understand, too, is we're 1/3 the way in. We aren't even done halfway.
That's what I mean.
That pushes 3 questions.
Yeah, I could see if this was the second movie, and it's like, okay, what's going on here? You know, it's supposed to raise questions because, you know, you're going to go into the next one. And it's funny because I just think that people are just, I don't know, like, Star Wars fans are just so critical, and it just kills me because they can't even enjoy the movie for what it is because they already have their, just like I heard someone going on a rant about, the Solos don't have one kid, they have 3 kids, no, they have 1 kid, you know why? Because the EU doesn't fucking count, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I love the EU just as much as everyone else, but, like, I'm going to need everybody to kind of get their life with that and accept the fact that none of that counts. None of it.
Yeah.
None of it.
And
do you hear me,
even
people?
Then, like,
none.
The thing is, too, is I've heard a lot of critics, and I agree with this, call it a soft reboot, which I like because I think it's good to kind of think of it as, like, this is an interpretation of the events after. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it's not canon, but I'm saying, like, if you like the expanded universe, you can still like this and say, like, oh, these are two different interpretations of the events after
the
movies.
Exactly.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know? I agree with that. Like, you need to take it for what it is. And there'd be nothing to look forward to if we knew who Supreme Leader Snoke was, if we knew exactly...
Because you could just read the EU. Like, what is the point? What is the point?
If we knew what the Knights of Ren were, if we knew Rey's parents... We'd have nothing to look forward to. This is why the original trilogy is a soft spot in our hearts and why the prequels weren't as compelling was because you didn't know what was going to happen in the original trilogy. We knew that Anakin was going to turn to the dark side in the prequels. That was just a given. And that didn't, you know, the
prequels just didn't know how it was going to happen. But
it had good moments, but the mystery was sucked out of it. And now this reminds me of the original trilogy because it has that mystery in it again, because it has that, oh, we get to find out what's going on, you know? It kind of makes me feel like this is what it felt like to be alive when New Hope and Empire came out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just like, I did get that. I was super jazzed, like, I was super immersed in it. I care immediately about all these characters.
Oh yeah, it was
even
great.
Like, even the bad people, there was no character that I hated. I hated no character, and that is rare for me. I have beef with Return of the Jedi. I have beef with, like, Jar Jar. Those types of characters I can't stand.
Yeah.
And this had none of that for me. Even though, like, BB-8 was in it, but BB-8 was so fucking cute. Like, he was so cute. I loved it. I almost love him as much as R2, but I will always love R2.
I go as far as say I like BB-8 more than R2, and not that
blasphemy.
Not because R2 is a bad character. I honestly think part of it is because I've seen now 7 fucking movies with R2 in it, and I get this new unit that has its own personality and everything and all that. And it's this is fresh. I think it's more because it's fresh than I like BB-8.
Yeah. But I loved BB-8. I thought he was so cute. I thought he was the cutest little thing. I loved all their mannerisms and how they played with him. I loved the, my favorite thing was like the thumbs up when he gave him the thumbs up.
Oh yeah, the lighter.
That was so cute.
I kind of like too is how that, like, they always have this like running gag where it's like Finn doesn't understand what the fuck people are saying that aren't speaking English. So he's just constantly like trying to communicate with these people and he has no way. And it's so funny.
And I love that. And I like that because it's kind of like, and this is why I like Finn's character. I guess I'm just gonna jump into the characters right now. And the reason why I love Finn's character, because he was kind of like the avatar for like the viewer.
Yeah.
Because we can't understand like BBA or Chewie or any of these people.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like he was the person that we could relate to because he was the most like us, I guess, as far as not knowing. He didn't know anything about the Force. He's just a jack noob. And I think that was really good that they did that also too for people who don't know the Star Wars franchise, because they basically are Finn. There was something that was like innocent about his character.
He and it made sense why he would go against the Empire. You know what I mean? You like him, you see the huge heart on this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, you see exactly why he couldn't handle it. He doesn't want to be a part of that anymore. A scene that I really loved is when they're running, like, Finn gets to Jakku and they see the Imperials chasing them and everything, him and Rey. Right before they get to the Millennium Falcon, TIE Fighter shoots them, an explosion happens. Finn is passed the fuck out and Rey goes over to him, wakes him up. And the moment he wakes up, are you okay? And she's like,
Yeah.
It's like, damn, this dude is so nice. Like, he's just a good person, you know?
Yeah. And then I like that. And I liked his interactions with, like, BB-8. Like, he instantly took to BB-8, which I thought was so cute. And I just love that BB-8. Like, that was some good shit. Like, they hooked me right there. Like, I was hooked in the first 5 minutes of watching. Even when Poe was interacting with BBA, was like this kid, like a kid, but not an annoying kid. I don't know. I feel like they should replace all child actors with droids. It would make all movies better. I mean, just any movie. Doesn't matter what movie it is. All droids.
Yeah. What made him so great was that he had this childlike innocence about him. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell this droid just wants to help. It wants to.
Yeah.
It really. Yeah, has good intentions. So it's like, okay. Well, R2's kind of a dick sometimes, you know what I mean?
R2's a douche. R2's a straight-up douche. R2's just a flat-out douche, and that's why I love R2, because R2's just a douche.
BB-8 is innocent.
No, BB-8 is super sweet. And you could tell he kind of, like, looked up to R2, and I thought that was the cutest thing. Like, they're like puppies or something. I don't know. Yeah. I think the droids are so cute. But only, like, I don't know why it's just, like, the astromech droids. Like, C-3PO, he's all right, but I mean...
Yeah, he's still kind of annoying, but I mean,
he was
used well in this movie.
I thought so too, and I love the way they used him because it was like, I'm here, and he was still doing his classic cock blocking annoying C-3PO thing. But the way they used it was perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. I guess I'll just go down the character line then.
Yeah, we'll talk about characters.
Okay. Poe, I really liked him, his interactions. I feel like they're going to make him be like the Han Solo of the group.
Well, he's pretty much, from my impression is, and yes, I agree, he is definitely more like Han Solo. I feel like this is what they were trying, because, you know, they were trying to hire Wedge from the old movies, Dennis Lawson. That makes me wonder, like, if that was who he was supposed to be. Like Wedge was supposed to be that, or he was supposed
to be... I know he was supposed to be some no-name guy. Because, you know, when the TIE Fighter crashes, and he thinks that Poe's dead, he was supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
So, but then you can't just have, like, Oscar Isaac come be this character and kill him off, like, halfway through. Like, like he's a star on the rise. Like, he's in this movie.
Yeah.
He was in Ex Machina. He's in,
Wait, who is he in Ex Machina?
The bald dude.
Was he really?
You know,
I didn't...
Yeah.
No, no wonder. I was like, I'm watching the movie.
You know both of them were in Star Wars. You know both of them were in Star Wars.
Both of them?
The, you know, General Hex.
Oh, he was, yes. Oh, okay.
They both were in Star Wars. I love that.
Yeah, because that makes so much sense. Because seriously, the whole time I'm watching him and Poe, I'm like, I know them from fucking somewhere. I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Dom Hall Gleason, completely different. Yeah. Dom Hall Gleason, he was in Ex Machina, and he was also the older Weasley brother.
Yeah.
The one that married the blonde.
Okay.
In the movie.
Oh, he was Bill, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense now.
Oscar Isaac, he's in Star Wars, he's in Ex Machina, and he's playing Apocalypse in X-Men.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's on the rise, so yeah. I don't think they're going to kill him, like, halfway through the movie.
Yeah, he's a good actor. I like both of them. But him in this movie and in Ex Machina.
Ex Machina, like, that movie mind-fucked me. But,
that was a great movie.
Yeah, I like Poe in this movie. I liked his character. I can't wait to see, like, more, like, what they're going to do more with him. Rey, I loved her. I thought she was just great, like... And the actress just, like, something about her is just, like, I don't know. Like, she just has a really nice, I don't know. Like, she just seems, like, really cool. And yeah. I feel like she's a good character for, like, everybody to kind of root for.
Yeah.
I do like her character.
And I remember, like, hearing reports before of Abrams calling her acting, like, wooden. So I don't know if that was, like, oh, you need to stop doing this, or that was, like, after the fact. I'm assuming that was him telling
you to
change it up.
I didn't find her wooden at all. I found her very...
She was great. Yeah. Great acting on her
Yeah,
part.
I found her very warm and open, and she needed... Oh. She played the role that she needed to play, like...
So I'm assuming that was, like, they shot some things, and then...
Probably before, and he was like, I'm gonna need you to get...
Yeah, during, like, rehearsals and stuff like that, most
likely. Yeah. I was surprised at how strong she was with the Force.
Yeah. I thought that was cool, personally. Because, I mean, she's basically like an Anakin, you know what I mean? In terms of, like, raw natural ability.
Yeah. Or Luke, because Luke picked it up pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Like, he wasn't a Jedi for very long, and he
picked
up some skills. Like, basically, from Empire to Return of the Jedi, he just has such a huge leap.
And that's only 4 years, the gap.
Yeah, I mean, he was, by no means was he a perfect Jedi, but I mean, who is in 4 years, I mean.
I mean, even in the first movie, he makes that shot into the Death Star, you know, and he had, how long has he been using the Force?
I mean, and also, when he deflected those blasts, practicing in the Millennium Falcon, I mean, they start that when you're a little kid. I mean, he picked it up within a few minutes just from Obi-Wan being like, relax. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
Luke, in general, you know, obviously the Skywalker lineage, naturals of the Force, because Kylo Ren showed some impressive Force abilities too.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk about him. Oh, and I did like, Maz Kanata.
Oh, yeah.
I like that character.
Oh, you know what a good comparison that I completely agree with is she's a lot like Edna Mode from The Incredibles.
Yes.
Very, very similar characters in a really good
different,
way.
No capes.
Yeah, eccentric wise. Crazy people.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes, I hope she survived and she's in the next movie because I did pause.
I did like her and I like the actress that plays her, so I really hope that she's in it again. Love, like I said, Dom Hall Gleason, who played General Hux. I liked him just because I think it's just because I like that actor.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a good job.
Absolutely.
Captain Phasma, I just want more. I hope that she survived because I need to see her, like, basically I need her to be like the Boba Fett, but do more. Right now she's the Boba Fett because she looked cool and she was in it for a couple of minutes, but I'm gonna need her to step the game up and
I'd be really surprised if she wasn't in the next movie.
I think she should be. The only reason I could see why they wouldn't have her is because the actress would be doing her Game of Thrones stuff, because that's Brienne from Game of Thrones. So, but I don't think that they're conflicting because they already finished filming Game of Thrones for next season. So
yeah.
And there was a couple of Game of Thrones cameos in there. The guy, the old guy at the beginning that gives Poe the
Oh yeah, the map.
The Yeah, he's gonna be playing the three-eyed Raven. He's gonna be basically Blood Raven. Oh. The one that Bran go see that's in the tree.
Yeah.
He's gonna be him next season. The one that plays Jojen is in the he's a Imperial officer in the First Order.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a couple of cameos. It's actually a lot of cameos in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, because Simon Pegg's in it too.
Who was he in the movie?
The one that gives her the money, like the food. The one that says, I'll pay you this much.
Oh, he was the alien that gave him portions? He sounded completely different.
I know.
That was really good on his part.
I think my favorite one, though, was Daniel Craig.
Well, who was he? I honestly couldn't see him for shit.
One, you remember the stormtrooper that she do the Jedi mind trick on?
Yeah.
That's Daniel Craig.
Oh.
I didn't recognize his
voice at all.
Yeah, I did. As soon as I heard his voice, I was like, is that Daniel Craig? Like, James Bond, really? So I thought that was pretty cool. So I did like all the cameos from, like, you know, different people. Supreme Leader Snoke seemed really cool.
Yeah, he had an amazing, like, I really liked his imposing voice. He sounded like what, I mean, I guess I can't say he's a Sith because that hasn't straight up been established.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems very Sith-like, so I mean, he had an opposing voice, though. I like.
Yeah, he did. You know, that's Andy Serkis.
Yeah. I knew about that.
So I was like, God, is there anything that this dude can play?
God,
like,
he is so fucking talented.
I know. I'm just so jelly. Like, I can't do anything.
He's such a pioneer when it comes to motion cap technology.
I know.
He's so good at it now. Like, he's always been good at it, but it's just a fucking, like, art now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, because I mean, he was like Gollum and King Kong. He's this guy.
He was also Caesar in Planet of the Apes.
He sure was.
Great acting in that. I think I'd say that was his best by far. Andy Serkis's Caesar.
I love me some Gollum. I can't hate on Gollum.
Yeah. Oh, Gollum was good in that movie. I'm just saying, that's my favorite so far.
Caesar, yeah. I'm going to have to go with Gollum, simply just because, like...
But they're both great. He
yeah, they are. I love both. I love the Planet of the Apes movie, actually, the new ones. Yeah, so I guess the only person that's left on the bad side is Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
What did you think? I'm interested to hear what you thought.
I really liked him. I really liked that... he used the Force in interesting ways that we'd never seen before. We'd never seen somebody stop a blaster bolt in the middle.
I thought that was the coolest thing.
I thought that made him look really powerful too, because like,
and it made me take him seriously.
Yeah, like he wasn't even like, he was like talking and keeping that thing frozen in time, and then when he's done with everything, it releases and stuff. I thought that was cool. I thought that showed that he's just really powerful with the Force, you know what I mean? Like,
I
he really is a adept Force user at this point. I like that he was able to probe people's mind. We haven't seen... They've established the whole you can kind of communicate and stuff telepathically, but they never really, like, memories and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool that he could do that.
I did too.
I liked that it wasn't like a Force... There were no, like, Force choke, copycat, you know what I mean? Like, they tried to use the Force in inventive ways, you know.
Yeah,
I thought that was
yeah
really cool.
He did like use the Force to like bring that guy so he could choke
yeah
him physically.
Yeah, but it was different.
But
like
but that was different. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I totally agree with and you.
I like it
I
how
thought,
it's vicious too, you know what I mean? Like when he Force pushes somebody, it doesn't
yeah
like it just you just go flying, you know what I mean? I hadn't seen that before.
And I think it's a tale of his power or
yeah
because he's very powerful, but he doesn't know how to control it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that is funny that, but that's one thing that they kind of showed even in the prequels when they
yeah
were dealing with Anakin.
Yeah.
He was rage mode all the time, but he had control
yeah
over it. He had a very fine control on
yeah
his anger.
Kylo Ren kind of reminds me of Broly from Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
like he's just—he is like a very powerful dude. He just makes dumb mistakes because he's not thinking it through and can't control himself. So yeah,
yeah. Anakin, even that's what I was saying. Even when he was Anakin, he had a really good control on his anger Because, yeah. I mean, even when he choked Padme out, he still was like, yeah, that chick was alive. Like, I left her alive. You know, like, I even in As Darth Vader, he even had more of a control yeah. over it. But I always felt that he had an iron kind of determination and a strength. Like, even I was supposed to say, even when he was Anakin, like, if he's going to do something, he's going to do it. The consequences be damned.
Yeah.
And with Kylo Ren, you kind of see this wildness to him.
Yeah.
He's powerful,
yeah.
but he doesn't know how to hone it to where it's finessed. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Darth Vader was very smooth with his actions and very deliberate. Yes.
Even when Darth Vader was pissed off, like when he's fighting Luke, and you can tell he's kind of at this point where he's like, okay, that's it. I'm tired of this shit. I'm not holding back.
I'm done with you. Yeah, like, I'm done with you, kid.
He did get clipped, but even then, like, once he got clipped, it's almost like he kind of calmed down for a half second and then cut off Luke's arm. You know,
yeah, like,
it
was, even yeah, then, like, once he get hit it him, together. It was kind of like, okay, kid, now you're pissed
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. You know, like, get out of here. They've all been very controlled and very yeah. kind of focused. I just love that he was just so kind of, and then I like the fact that it showed in his lightsaber.
Yes.
Because his lightsaber wasn't even stable.
Yeah,
it was crackly.
That is you could true. Tell
he like homemade it, like it was bootlegged.
Kinda,
like the, you know, like that thing looked like it would explode at any minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like that was kind of a indicator of kind of like his personality in a way. So I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, I read something really stupid the other day that kind of showed that they weren't paying attention very well when they watched the movie. Some critic, I don't remember where, basically said like,
I didn't read that, but I saw it.
Where he was like, the critic was basically like, you know, it's a good movie, but it's the same thing before, you know, good versus evil. Like, Kylo Ren isn't purely evil. Like, it was clearly established that he is conflicted. You know, you mm-hmm. see, and even if he didn't completely mention it, you can tell when he killed Han Solo, he looked very conflicted. He looked close to tears.
Yeah.
He it really was funny slipping.
Because he didn't know which decision was right.
Yeah.
Because he felt the pull to the light. He's also wanting to be dark, and he knows that he has to purge this, you know, from his system in order to kind of like be on the dark side, even though he was very conflicted. And I just call him a bad for bad sake is kind of doing injustice yeah. to his character, in my opinion. Because, I mean, the First Order might be evil for evil's sake, but I don't even think it's that cut and dry. I think it's kind of like Palpatine said, good and evil in this world seems to be a matter of perspective.
Yep, yep.
And not necessarily, you know, only thing I could say was good and evil is terms of like light side, dark side. I think that's where you get the dichotomy of
uh-huh.
good and evil. But even then, you need both sides of the Force. If it was just supposed to be the light side, then the whole Force, it would be imbalanced if there was just nothing but Jedi. But you need both to have kind of like a symbiance. And I think that his character is kind of walking that line in a way. Because he's not completely bad, but he's not really good. And so that's what I appreciate about his character. Also, too, I did not know that going into it that he was Han Solo and Leia's kid until they said it. And then I was like, ah! Which made me really happy because it was kind of like shades of the EU. Because in the EU, they did have a son that turned to the dark side. So I like the fact that they like kind of nodded to the EU without ripping it all off. Like, they did in their own way. So I wasn't expecting that, but it was a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. Also, second pleasant surprise, like, I knew that Adam Driver was playing Kylo Ren already.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him before, previously, because he's on that show Girls.
Yeah.
And I always thought he was fugly, but he has, like, a really high body. But for some reason, I don't know if it's just because he was like on the dark side or what, but he was doing it for me in that movie for sure. So and he's not even my type, but I was like, yeah, I take it. So it was
like you like emotionally unstable people with weapons.
Yeah, because when he took off the helmet, I was like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Well, I think it helps. I think some people didn't like that he took off the helmet, but I liked it because it showed that the helmet is just a front that he's trying to put on. You know,
exactly.
He's really insecure and all that.
I like that he took off the helmet, and I like that he took off the helmet. He only took off the helmet at certain, like, in front of her. He took the helmet off. And when Khan confronted him, he took the helmet off.
Yeah.
And I think that that was, both of those were important because he had to show them, like, the human behind, you know, like you said, this is just a mask.
Yeah.
And I think that for Rey, I don't know. There's some, like, some weird vibe between him and Rey. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, they were giving me weird vibes.
Kylo is, like, oddly attracted to her.
Yes! Way, you know? See, that's what I thought. I thought, like, I was picking up on some romantical vibes, and I was like, really? And that would be almost interesting, because I don't think we've ever seen that before. Like, so that would be kind of interesting. But I also was picking up, like, some romantic vibe between her and Finn. So.
Yeah, it definitely felt more with Finn and them. And
stuff. I mean,
they had chemistry, and it was more like, I captured you, you know, with Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, she might like it. So.
Nah. It's really easy and really hard to fall into the trap of trying to anticipate what's coming next. Because, I mean, once again, with one third of the way there, things could be completely different. I think one of the problems with anticipating what's next is the best example I could come up with is when I was watching the new Airbender spin-off show, The Legend of Korra. And the first season, you're trying to figure out who... gosh, it's been so long. I'm trying to make sure I get my names right. Amon, was it? The guy that was taking people's bending? You're trying to find his identity, the guy who was taking people's bending. And I came up with this huge backstory of, like, oh, you know what? Aang had another son or something like that, and then it didn't go well with him because that's how he's able to take people's bending, is Aang somehow taught him that ability, and now he's gone rogue and has a blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I was completely and utterly wrong because they introduced a new character. He was a completely new character. You can't take what's already been introduced to us and be like, oh, it's going to be from there, when the thing is, because it's such a new thing, there's going to be more characters. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's tricky to guess things. It's tricky to guess something like Rey's lineage when there could be new characters, you know, in the next one that would explain that. So we don't know.
As far as the old characters go, I love that they had way more Chewie in this movie.
Yeah, Chewie was great.
He was great. Everything about him was great. Like, I love the, and then too, his, like, rage moment. Like, only thing that I wish is that Chewie just would have raged even harder.
Yeah.
Like, when Han got killed, I wish he just would have ripped, like, Stormtroopers' arms off, heads off. Yeah. But then I guess it would have went, like, a little too much.
Yeah.
But they did show him raging out, so I was happy about that. Mm-hmm. I liked Han and Leia's little interaction, and I thought it was appropriate that they weren't together.
Yeah.
Only because they're both very headstrong.
Yep.
And, like, the same thing that they like about each other, I could see after years being the same things that they hate about each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, you know, they're both headstrong. They both, you know, want to be right all the time.
Yeah.
She's stubborn, and he's kind of too laid back. So I can see, like, when you're young, that's kind of cute. Like, oh, he's just a little roughneck rogue. And then when you get older, it's like, can you take out the fucking trash? Like, I don't got time for this shit.
Yeah.
So I can see how, you know, their relationship kind of devolved. And they still care about each other. And
yeah.
I really like that.
I do like that. You can tell that a big part of it, too, was that Kylo turned to the dark side. It's just like, how the fuck can you recover from that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, really. Especially after everything they went through to kind of, like, defeat the dark side.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't help but feel like a failure. It's kind of like, you know, those parents who kids become, like, strung out or something. Mm-hmm. They feel, like, so bummed out because it's like, dang, like, this is my kid. And they're, like, going down the wrong path. And I can't even save them. I can't help them. I can't. Do anything. I see that. Especially when you feel like it's your fault.
Yeah. I mean, one of the lines that really struck me was when Leia was talking about it, saying, like, I sent him to Luke because I knew he had, you know, he was talented, and I knew Luke could set him straight, but I mean, I should have never sent him away. I should have kept him here and stuff like that. It's like, kind of makes sense that it's like, Luke, Leia, everybody tried to make the best decision for him so he wouldn't turn to the dark side, but there's just, you know, it just was, it just couldn't happen.
Yeah.
Something I thought was kind of interesting too is I like that he's kind of like looks up to Vader, you know, as his.
I like that too. And I was reading this one thing that was very interesting. They were talking about it and they were saying that if you look at Vader's career, once he made the decision to turn to the dark side,
oh, he excelled.
he didn't waver for 20 something years. He had like one moment of weakness.
Yeah.
Over the course of like 2 decades of wrecking people, yeah. One moment of weakness where it was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's kind of interesting how Snoke, and they say it in the novelization of the movie. They have it, if you read it, it goes like a little bit more in detail about certain things.
Uh-huh.
But they were saying that basically Kylo Ren and Snoke kind of look up to Vader in that way because they don't really judge him from that one moment of weakness.
Yeah.
And they said, it's basically like if you have a really good career, but you make one mistake at the end of your career.
Yeah.
You know, like that doesn't taint your legacy. you know? So I think it's interesting that people would look up to Vader in that way.
I think part of it too is like, even though Darth Vader wasn't necessarily the most powerful Sith, he definitely had perfect traits in the sense that like he was confident, he was intimidating, he knew how to rule by fear, and you know the Sith just fucking love that. They just to be able to strike fear in people's eyes is just something that all Sith strive for. And you can clearly tell Kylo was trying to strive for that too, and everything.
I do have to get into my one minor beef, minor beefs with the movie. I don't have a lot. I really don't.
Yeah.
And this is almost being nitpicky about it, because I really did love the movie. But I can see why some people say it's too similar to the OT.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then again, it's supposed to be similar to the OT.
Yeah.
But I it's kind of like they took all three movies from the OT, put them in a blender, and poured it out, and then they this. And I understand that, and I can see why some people are like, eh, I wanted something new and fresh, but then it's kind of like, and the funniest thing, though, that I heard, I couldn't believe this when I heard it. Like, I almost fell out of my chair. Someone was like, you don't really even know what's going on the political side. I almost fell out of my chair. I said, this is the same thing that everyone bitches about with the prequels, that it was too political, that it focused too much on the politics of the galaxy.
Yeah,
and now you're complaining because it's not political enough. I like that made me want to like throw things because I was just like, you cannot win with these effing fans.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everything I read afterwards just made me hate Star Wars fans. Like I can't stand them at all.
I get what you mean. Yeah. And I agree. I do have very minor gripes about the movie.
Sorry, my second one.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you did. It was okay. Is the Death Planet?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? I mean, I get why, but at the same time, did we really need a Death Planet? Like, you didn't learn your mistakes from the first Death Star, second Death Star. You had to go bigger, badder, and get a Death Planet. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, let's just say, okay, we have a Death Planet now. What was it called? Star Killer Base?
Yeah.
You have the Death Planet. Was it really necessary? Like, shouldn't you have... I would have a... If I was in the First Order, I would be like, okay, they blew up two of these fuckers. We are going to have a guard at every post. Laser beams. Like, that thing would have security up the yin-yang. Like, you wouldn't be able to get in there... If your life depended on, like, you would have to be a Force user. Like, you would have to be, like, freaking Yoda jumping around trying to get in that place. Because I would have security to the max times 1,000. Especially, like, against... I would have, like, shield generators on top of shield generators on top of shield generators. Like, that was my only gripe is that... And I felt like they blew it up too easily. Like, this is what I wish would have happened.
Well,
although this would have kind of sucked, but I mean, it would have been gratifying for me because I like the bad people anyway. If they would have tried to blow it up and it didn't work, like that would have been dope. If they would have had to try to find another way to disable it, because like I wish like the little plan that they enacted, and then someone just was like, "Yeah, like we."
That kind of happened though, where they went for the bombing runs and it wasn't being effective enough, and it wasn't until they detonated those bombs that they were finally.
That's what I mean. Chewie had to go in and detonate the bomb. That's just like in the Return of the Jedi when they had to actually manually fly into it and disable those two.
Yeah, yeah. You're just saying.
Lando, when he flew in and disabled two things in Millennium Falcon. So, yeah.
I'm conflicted about that because I'm conflicted on that because I think about if you want to start another empire, you would want to build another Death Star type thing because having the power to destroy another planet is huge. You have huge intimidation factor and the fact of power. And I think that's kind of what is the Empire and the New Order's biggest weakness is the fact that they are so secure in their own power that they kind of had like power drunkenness, you know what I mean? It's like they're drunk on their own power, so they're just like, yes, destroy everything. So they're kind of overconfident, underestimate their enemy.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked that aspect of it. It's like, yeah, I can see.
Love the idea of the, like, and I love the fact that when it shot the beam, it had five different beams. Yeah. I thought that was so cool, and I thought it was kind of like the next step up. Okay, like, if they built this, they can hit one planet. We're going to learn from their mistake. We're going to take out five planets at once.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they came up with that,
I see both sides.
I just wish that it wouldn't have blew up so easy. Like, I just, for once, yeah. I mean, that's why I can't watch movies, because I always want the bad people to win. I'm so terrible. Because I'm like, for once, I just wish, like, you know how, like, in movies, the heroes always come up with this plan?
Yeah.
And I wish it didn't work. It almost didn't work in Return of the Jedi when Emperor was like, yeah, I already know your little friends are down there on Endor trying to blow the shield generator up. Like, I already know what's up. So I kind of wish that they would took that approach to it. Mm-hmm. But then again, if they did that, then everybody would have died. So then it would be a movie. So don't let me write your movie, people, because all the heroes, I'd be pulling a George R. R. Martin. So, the good people be dead.
One of the things that George R. R. Martin that said to me that I totally agree with is he said, you know, he's one of the biggest fans of Tolkien out there, but Tolkien not only did a lot to help the fantasy genre, but he did a lot to hurt it too, to where it became a stereotype to always have the good guys win and all that stuff. This black and white good versus evil thing. It's like, yeah, it's a good story. That's a fun story, but like,
that's not real life. You
know, yeah, exactly. It's putting story into a box when it doesn't need to be.
And I feel like that's what these new movies are going to do, because if you look at the original one, it's very much a good versus evil type thing.
Yes.
But I feel like this one, especially just with the main bad guy, he is very in the gray area.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be a little dark gray now that he killed his dad, but I still feel like he is not fully black. Like, I feel like Darth Vader was black. Like, black and white on the scale of, you know, good, evil. He was all the way on that side, you know. And I feel like this character is a little more gray. And I also felt like Rey was a little gray, too, because she totally wanted to kill Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
And he mentioned it twice. Like, when he first captured her, and he was like, oh, you want to kill me. He sensed it.
Yep.
And then he sensed it again when they were having their little fight.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that was an interesting choice to actually make her a little gray. And she wasn't completely. Because even when she was getting the portions, for a minute, she started to take the portions. Like, fuck BB-8. And then she was like, oh, I can't, like, this is a bummer. Like, it took her a minute to come to herself and be like, that's not right. Because even Finn, I thought that was cool too, because he wanted to do the right thing and he was a good guy, but he's like, yeah, y'all trying to go up against the First Order, I'm out, deuces, like, have a good life.
Yeah.
You know, only it was only until she got captured that he kind of you know, was like, oh no, I gotta go help my friend. But before, he was totally gonna leave her and BBA.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I thought it was interesting that it's kind of like, these people don't want this responsibility, but they have it thrust on them, and due to the circumstances, they have to. And I think that's infinitely more relatable, you know, because even though they are good people, like you said, they try to shirk their responsibilities, you know.
But yeah,
and I think that makes them much more interesting characters,
and also much more relatable as far as like humans go. Because like, how many things do people have to do every day? It's, I mean, I feel like more or less people are generally good people, and that when you do have like all this stuff thrust on your responsibility, it's not that you're a bad person because you don't want to do it. It's just you're human, and you know, like, you're thinking about the person.
It's scary.
Yeah, you're thinking about the cost to me. Like, what is this gonna do to me? What is this?
It's not trying to be a dick. He just doesn't want to die.
Yeah,
you know, who
doesn't? Yeah. Self preservation is definitely, you know, a motivator for people.
And Ray running away from those things because she wants her parents. You know, she's like, I don't want this new thing. I want to stay here, wait for parents to come back to me and everything. And just, you know, I love that when Maz is just like, they're not coming back. And she just instantly just knee-jerk reaction. Nope, fuck this. Don't want anything to do with the lightsaber. Don't want anything to do with this. Yeah. I want to get the fuck back over there. And it's kind of new because, I mean, but Luke kind of, in the original trilogy, kind of did want the responsibility at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like, he did want to be a Jedi.
He wanted to be a Jedi, but not until, like, Uncle Owen and Beru were killed. Because before, when Obi-Wan was like, oh, you got to come meet Alderaan, he's like, I ain't coming with you Alderaan nowhere. I got to go home. Like, I don't got time for this. He's like, the Empire sucks, but there's nothing I can do about it. I was like, and that was literally what he said, and I was just laughing. Like, really, Luke? Like,
I'm just saying, like, there's a point, for the best majority of those, you can tell, like, he wants to take the mantle and he wants to do.
Well, yeah, eventually he gets, you know, it's kind of like after, you know, like after he sees there's nothing left for him on Tatooine, then he's like, okay, I need to go here now because there's nothing, there's nothing here for me.
Yeah, well, you see Finn, Han Solo, you know, all of them.
He's shirking responsibility
constantly
too.
Run away. Constantly run away from their problems, constantly try to just, you know. And I like that. I like that. Because I think it's very real.
I agree.
Very real to be like, resistance, take your responsibility, probably gonna die. Fuck that.
Yeah. it's very much a normal reaction that people would have to situations like that.
One of the best points I ever heard, and this completely accentuates that these new movies, is one of the problems with the prequels is it had a habit of trying to get us to care about the characters by telling us and not showing us.
Oh my gosh, you know? I had the best conversation with some friends about this this past weekend.
Like Finn and Rey, they don't... Sometimes they do, like, you don't really hear them explicitly say, I care about you. You see them fucking, like, do these things for each other.
Yeah, no, and that's what we were saying about the one beef with, like, if I have to, like, because you know me, I'm not a prequel hater, but that is the one thing that I do, and that's, like, filmmaking 101, you know, show, not tell. If you have to do a lot of telling, that is not, you know, this is a visual medium, people need to see, and then the problem I think that people had with like Anakin and Padme is that he was, you know, expounding all of this, I love you, XYZ, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, can you just show them being in love? And the relationship would have felt more real if instead of, just like you said, when you care about someone, you do something and it's not like, okay, I care about you. I care about you. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I need to see it. Like, I felt they should have put them in more situations where you could see that they care about each other rather than hear them tell each other or somebody else how much they care about the other person.
Like, I think a good example of this is in Attack of the Clones when they're chasing Count Dooku and Padme gets, you know, they falls out of the gunship and everything. And you hear Anakin just, you know, so put the ship down, blah, blah, blah. would have been way more compelling is if Anakin tried to die for her or tried to do something to save her and Obi-Wan had to hold him back or something like that.
Well, you know I mean? I didn't it's have like, a beef with that scene because I felt like that was like one of the only times where you kind of saw it because he was, you know, they're probably chasing Dooku and he's telling them to put the ship down to get this chick. And that's why Obi-Wan was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that was one of the only times I felt like they actually...
Oh, yeah,
show at least to Obi-Wan. Well, yeah, but that
but you
no,
get what I mean,
I get what you mean. But I felt like that was good actually for Obi-Wan. I was kinda like, okay, something's going on between them. Like what? Like,
yeah.
But I felt they should have just did more of that, kinda like you said. If he would have actually dove for her, that would have been like, oh, this dude's serious about this chick. Or, you know, like, because he's just keep telling her, like, oh, I'm tormented by your love and blah, blah. Like, I want to see your torment. Like, I want to look and see you on the floor, like, writhing in agony. And then I go, that dude's tormented. You know, like. Like, I want to see that.
The best acting that happens within Anakin's character with Hayden Christensen is when he's not saying anything. Not necessarily as a jab to his acting ability, but as a. We're seeing the torment as opposed to him saying it. Like a good scene, one of the best scenes in episode 3 is when he tells Mace Windu about Sidious. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there and you just see him like,
you see the conflict.
Visually upset. Yeah, you see how sad and upset and how conflicted he is in his I guess, apartment? House? Whatever the fuck that is. You see him. That's such a powerful scene because you can see the torment in his face, where if he was just like, man, this really sucks, you know, that it wouldn't have been as powerful, you know?
No, I felt that's what a lot of scenes that they did, even in 2, a lot of times where I appreciate Hayden Christensen is when he's not talking.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not to knock him, because I feel like people knock him a lot, and I don't think he's necessarily terrible. I just felt like it was a case of telling over showing, because when he's allowed to just emote, I feel he does that very well. When he's just allowed to play out the emotion instead of saying the emotion, I feel it goes a little smoother, because like in part 3, after he's turned to the dark side, you can kind of see, like, he's so bummed out about, like, what he's had to do and what he's done, but is like, is no going back. And you can kind of see all of that on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just need more of that and less of sand talk.
I think another good example of this in episode 3 was when Sidious, you know, pushes Windu out of the window.
Yeah.
And you see Anakin go to his knees. And you can just see how defeated he's like, I give up. I've gone too far.
Yep.
This is it.
Yeah.
It's I'm committed to this now.
Yeah.
That was powerful.
And that's another thing that's kind of interesting when you compare him to Kylo Ren, where once he gets up, like, off his knees, that's kind of it. Like, he doesn't waver after that, period. Mm-hmm. Even when Padme is all like, I love you, he's like, and, you know, like, he once he chooses that road, he's chosen it, and he sticks to it. And I feel like Kylo doesn't really know what role he wants to take. It's just fun to compare and contrast him to Darth Vader, because that's what he's trying to look up to when they are so different.
What I didn't like is some people bitch that, like, Rey was able to fend him off. It's like, okay, he was hurt. Finn, it showed him bleed before the fucking battle.
Yeah,
you know?
He got shot by Chewie with a bow.
Clearly shot him. Exactly. That thing makes people go flying.
He got shot with Chewie's bowcaster and he's still alive.
Yeah. It's like, and it showed him straight up bleeding. So, I mean, he's not going to be at his A game.
Yeah, and also, too, he wasn't expecting her, because the thing about it is he's strong with the Force, but just like he said when he went to go talk to Snoke, he was like, she's stronger than she knows.
Yeah.
With the Force. So
he even said, too, longer it takes us to find her, the more dangerous she is.
Yeah, because she was strong with it. Like I said, she didn't even know how strong she was. But he could feel it, because when he got it, when she got in his head, that's when he was like, okay, this chick.
Oh, yeah.
He already knew that she was pretty strong. And
that's
why he was telling her, like, yo, I could, like, teach you.
It seemed pretty, correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed pretty established that he's killed other Jedi before.
It seemed Kylo. It seemed like he had.
It seemed to imply that. Because wasn't that in the flashback?
I think it was.
He stabbed that person when she was having that flashback. That kind of implied that was another Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's used to fighting Force wielders, and the fact that he's just like, whoa.
He seemed to know more about her than she knows about herself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it implied when the guy said it was a girl, he's like, what girl?
Yeah.
It seems,
yeah, no, exactly.
It seems like he almost knows who she is.
Yeah.
And so that's why I said, like, I don't know. That, like, their vibe was just so, like, I couldn't place it. Like, I don't know if he was intimidated by her or intrigued by her or interested in her in a romantic way. Like, I couldn't place what was going down, but I liked that.
I think the thing is, like, and I actually been thinking about this, is because what it seems is going to happen in the next movie is Luke is going to train Rey. And Snoke is going to train Kylo. And the thing is, those are going to be completely different training because Snoke is not going to have any kind of, you know, it's okay, buddy, you can do this. It's going to be like, stop being weak, you weakling. You can do this. Be powerful. You know what I mean? So it's like, if he was able to train Rey would kind of bring out more of the humanity that Snoke is trying to suck out of him. You know what I mean? I kind of felt that vibe where it's like, he wants more human connection than Snoke can provide.
I felt connected to her. And yeah. I don't know if it's because they both were Force sensitive or what, but I just found it interesting, like you said, that he wants connection.
Yeah.
Yet he's trying to be on the dark side? Like, it's so strange.
He's just a conflicted dude.
Yeah.
And also, it honestly, like I said, I still stand by my spiel of we can't be too speculative because we're one third of the way in. We don't know what new characters are going to be introduced. But it seriously seems like it's implying that she's a Skywalker in some way.
My theory is
lightsaber is calling to you.
Yeah.
That was Luke's father and Luke's. And it's calling to her.
Yeah, I feel like she's either Luke's kid. I don't know who else's kid she could be because their family tree is pretty small. So, I would say my money, she's either Luke's kid or Obi-Wan's grandkid or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are my only two things because I don't think, because some people were saying, like, she's Han and Leia's kid. I'm like, okay, why are they going to hell and back for this one kid that turned to the dark side and then yet they're going to leave their other kid in the desert for 10 years?
I kind of thought about that, too. It was like, well, what if her and Kylo are twins? It's like, how does that work?
But you know? If her and Kylo were twins, Leia got some splaining to do.
Yeah, yeah. And what it feels like, Maz, like, it almost seemed like Han kind of knew, because at that one point when Maz was just like, who is she? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it almost seemed like, it almost wasn't like, oh, where do you know her from? It's more like, you know who this girl is. Tell me this mysterious person.
I feel
person,
like
you know?
Han knew who she was or had a clue to who she was.
Yeah, exactly.
That was kind of interesting because this is something I noticed in the theater, and I don't know if anybody else noticed it, or maybe it's because they were both Force sensitive. But at the end, when she comes back from her battle, you know, after she slices up Kylo Ren, and they come back with Finn, and he's all hurt. Her and Leia have like this moment, where they hug each other and all that. She's never seen Leia before.
No, yeah, yeah. I thought that too. It's like, wait, what?
I'm like, how do you know her? Because remember when they went to I forgot the name of the planet where Maz lives, she was already captured by Kylo Ren by the time Leia touched down.
Yeah, yeah.
So they never interacted in the movie. So it was interesting to me that she's waiting for her at the end of the plane. So I don't know if they were, like, vibing because they're both Force sensitive. Because Leia's Force sensitive, even though she doesn't, like, she's not a Jedi, but she is Force sensitive.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were vibing off of that or because they're both girls. I don't know, but
quite honestly, Leia can probably tell how strong with the Force she is.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I mean. I'm pretty sure she felt that she was strong with the Force, and that's why they were bonding. But that I was like, okay. So that was another one that was kind of interesting. Also loved like Finn and Poe's little bromance. Like, I
yeah, think, yeah, that is true.
I think they're so cool. Like, I just want them to be like besties. I think they're cute.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as they don't start fighting over Rey.
I wouldn't be surprised if they fucking tried that. Though.
Well, I mean, she's cool. Like, I mean, I can see why they fight is. Over her. So she's cute.
What I liked about Rey too is that all dudes are like, yeah. She is fucking attractive. But I like that they didn't sexualize her. What makes her attractive is she is pretty, but they don't put her in glamorizing clothes at all, really. They put her in, like, regular, like, not even regular stuff. Like, if anything, things that, like, devalue her natural form.
Cover her up.
But she's just so cool and so confident and so strong that it's just, like, she's attractive physically and just her.
That's
her
what's
as a person
actually
is
attractive
hot,
about
you know?
Her. Like, she's smart, she's intuitive, she's a good person, yeah. And those are the things that, and her personality just seemed like super. Like, even though she lived like the scumbag life, she still had like a good personality.
Yeah,
and I could see why Finn or Poe or even Kylo. I could see why all of them would like, you know, be attracted to her. And I also love the fact that they did not like. Womanize her how they do characters.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, I'm a woman and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, she was just competent. It wasn't that she was competent because she was a woman or she didn't make a big deal about her femininity or lack of femininity or womanness. It was just like, I'm a pilot because I know how to fly an airplane. Like, I'm good at this because I scavenge stuff. Like, because it none of her things had anything to do with the fact that she was a woman. And I like that because I feel like sometimes they can try to beat you over the head with the fact that someone's a girl and it's like, okay, I get it. She's a female. Can you stop hitting me? stop beating me in the head. I get it. She's a strong woman, you know? And I like the fact that she was competent and female, but that wasn't the only thing. That wasn't like her defining trait. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciated that. As a girl.
No, I agree. Because, like, the only time it was really even seemed like a factor was when people surprised that she knew how to pilot it. You know what I mean? But that doesn't even necessarily mean it was because it's
But
she
it didn't
was a girl.
Even, he didn't even say because it was a girl. He's just like, you? Like, what do you know?
Like, oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, Han didn't even say it was because she was a woman or anything. It was just kind of like...
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like...
You're just some, like, raggedy person from Jakku. Like, what do you know? You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
They were like, really? They definitely didn't either underestimate or overestimate her because she was a woman. And they didn't really put her on a pedestal either because she was a woman, which I appreciated.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Honestly, it really kind of feels like if it wasn't... a girl, if it was a dude in her place, they would have been treated the same, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I feel like. I mean, it would have been some awkward moments with Finn, but...
Well, yeah, that's more like, you know, they're bonding than anything else.
I know, I'm just... but yeah, it would have
spoiler alert, they fuck, no, I'm just kidding.
Right, Finn would have been asking him, oh, you got a boyfriend? Cute boyfriend?
that is funny.
I thought that was
cute. I kind of liked it too. Where you just like stop grabbing my hand.
I thought
when he's
that
ready.
Was so cute.
I liked it.
The reason why I thought it was so cute because it seemed like something that somebody like Finn would do. Like, of course, he would totally try to like take her hand and run so she could be like protected. She's like, dude, I can run better if you're not holding my hand. Like, stop doing that.
What I liked too was that it didn't come off as needy. It just came out as like he just legitimately cares about her.
He was just trying to do it because he was nice. It wasn't like he was trying to be creepy status with
yeah
it.
Exactly
like, yeah so I did like that. But you could tell he was interested, like when he asked her, he's like, oh, you gotta like, why you gotta go back to Jakku? You got a boyfriend?
Yeah
cute boyfriend. And she's like, none of your business. Like,
oh, he's like, why the fuck does everybody want to go back to Jakku? It's a shithole.
Yeah, that was funny too. Yeah, cause he said that to Poe. Cause Poe's like, he got to go back to get BB-8. He's like, why you gotta go back to get a droid? Like, well, no,
she wants to go back.
Yeah, she's like, I gotta go back to Jakku. He's like, okay, what, really? Also, too, was kind of cool how in the original trilogy, when they were talking about like Force users and the Clone Wars and all this stuff, it was all like, oh, you're a Jedi? You fought in the Clone Wars? And now they feel like that about like their exploit. They're like, you're Han Solo. Yeah. You did the Millennium Falcon run in like 12 seconds and all this stuff, you know? Like, I think it's funny that now they've become like the myths and the legends and stuff. The way they were talking about things that happened, you know, when they were young, now people think about them in that kind of like myth, legend, is did that really happen type of way. So I thought that was a nice, like a cute little touch that they put on there.
Because I can see, you know, the New Order trying to say like, oh, Luke Skywalker, he was a myth. You know what I mean? Like trying to downplay their accomplishments so it kind of makes people be like, oh, that's just the... you know, resistance and the rebellion telling lies in order to make everybody feel better. You know?
Yeah, and too, when you think about it, at that point in the galaxy, not that many people even believed in the Force or knew about the Force.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're like, yeah, this dude turned into a Jedi in 4 years and like totally wiped out the Empire, like, okay. You know, like, it's like, sure, okay.
Because I feel like, too, a good point that might have like persuaded people that the Jedi weren't a big deal is the whole idea of like, look, they all got wiped out. If they were really that powerful, how could they be wiped out like that? You know what I mean? It's like,
well, I mean, people say that about, like, you know, legendary, like, groups that are, you know, like, in our history, you know, like Spartans or whoever, you know. And so sometimes people downplay them, like, if they were that bad, then how they get, like, murdered or whatever? And it's like, because somebody
was... Spartans fucked with everybody. They made too many enemies.
Exactly. They have beef with too many people, that's why.
That's the thing, like, if Sparta was the size of the Persian Empire, then yeah, they would have fucking dominated, but they're not.
Yeah, it was
the
tiny.
Persian Empire was so big.
Yeah, Persian Empire was big compared to Sparta. Sparta was, like, tiny.
Oh, yeah.
What's one thing that you wish would happen in the new movie? And one thing that you think is going
one
to
thing
happen.
I wish to happen, one thing I think is going to happen.
Yeah, but don't die on me, Drew.
Oh, I won't. so one thing I want to happen is I think Luke kind of looks like a badass. You know what I mean? Like the way he looks and everything. Mm-hmm. I want to see him in action, you know?
I do too.
I want to see him just wipe out, like look like a powerful Jedi and wipe people out. I think he's going to die. I absolutely think they're going to kill him off at the end of the trilogy.
You think they're going to kill Luke?
Oh, I absolutely think so. He has no chance of making it out the trilogy alive. It might not be the next movie, but it's definitely going to happen. I think they're going to kill him the fuck off.
I don't know why that's funny to me.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he has a chance.
I have a retarded sense of humor. Don't pay attention to me. I don't know why that was hilarious, but... what I think is gonna happen? I don't know. I don't have any. Okay, the only thing that I think is gonna happen is that the First Order and the Knights of Ren, I don't think that they will be as easily as defeated the next time they come up, and I'm pretty sure that's like a given. But I just can't wait. There's so many characters on that side that didn't really fully get, like, explored. Mm-hmm. Like Kylo, like Captain Phasma. So I'm really thinking that they're going to be doing some things in the next movie. What I want to happen, I want too many things. I want Luke to be, like, super hardcore. I want there to be a point to some other characters kind of hanging around. You know, like, it's cool to see 3PO and Leia, but it's like, okay, without Han Solo, like, I'm going to need her to do something. And I feel like it's kind of almost boo to not at least have her do something with the Force.
Oh yeah, no, I thought that too. I was like, I thought it'd be cool if like she like force pushed somebody, even if it was like one time. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean.
Just to show that like she knows something.
Even to show something, like just something. I mean, I know she felt it like when Han died once. Like I don't even. She doesn't even have to do it like all the time. Like just something to show like she got her skills up at least enough to defend herself or do something.
I picture in my head like some situation where like. She's with, like, Finn or with, like, Rey or somebody. She uses a force power to, stop an enemy, and then say something along the lines of, Luke taught me a few tricks along the way.
Yeah.
I'm no Jedi, but Luke taught me a few tricks.
Yeah, that's
I would
what
love
I
a
mean.
Scene like that.
Yeah, like, I don't think she has to be, like, a full-fledged Jedi or,
no,
like,
no.
full-blown, but, like, if at least if she could do a force push,
I'd
I would
like
be
that
happy
too,
with
yeah.
that. I was not expecting Kylo Ren to be their kid. Like, I was not.
Yeah. I expected him to, like, be a Skywalker. Like, I thought that was, like,
I thought he
I
was,
had
like,
theories.
Luke's kid or somebody's kid.
I thought theories, but, and that was one of them, so I was, like, not completely invested in one. I just had, like, theories, and that was one of them. So I was surprised, but I wasn't like, oh, I had no idea. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
no,
that's
yeah,
one
it
of
wasn't
theories.
Like, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, because people were putting that out there that they were going to use, like, the Solo twins and all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So I kind of had a feeling that he would be, but I mean, even the moment, like, when they're on that little platform and, like, Han calls him, like, by his name, it was, like, super powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
And that whole scene just got me. Like, when he, like, stabbed him, I, like, almost jumped out of my seat. Like, I was so emotionally, like, it was, like, emotionally, like, it hurt my chest. It was so emotionally
yeah.
devastating. Like, that bummed me out, like so hardcore. I was like, this can't be happening. Like, this is not real life. Like, I was super distraught at Han Solo. Like, he's, like, my favorite person, but I say that every 5 minutes. So, but he's, like, one of my, like, really, he's, like, one of my favorite people, besides, like, R2.
Yeah, he did a good job in this movie.
Yeah,
and
BB-8 now.
Oh, yeah.
He wormed his way up to the top. This is
yeah.
so freaking cute. Did you
I
see
agree,
that
yeah.
guy that built one?
No.
Oh, my gosh, I have to find the link to you. This dude built, like, and it's not, like, that little crappy one they sell for, like, $200. He built, like, one that's, like, the same size as, like, BB-8.
Oh, wow.
And it, like, rolls around and stuff. I was just like, oh, I want that so bad. I want someone to build a BB-8 for me. I'm not smart enough to build one. But, and I'm not that tech savvy. So, like,
yeah.
My BB-8 would just be, like, a soccer ball with, like, drawings on it. Like, I can't. Like, I can't. I'm not that tech savvy to be building a BB-8. Just like I really want an R2, but I don't have no clue how to build an R2.
Well, you can buy that, but that is expensive.
No, people.
So, yeah. Star Wars is awesome. Go see it if you haven't already. And if you haven't seen it already, you listen to this whole thing, shame on you for spoiling it for yourself.
I know.
But yeah, thanks for listening to are rambling, and it'll be interesting. Star Wars has a bright future based
yes,
on this movie.
I think
it's going to be really interesting, the turns that it takes, and
awesome. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Bye.